not me. And God asked him a question in verse 2. He said, Moses, what is that in your hand? And that's the question today that God is asking us, individually and corporately. What is that in your hand? Dwayne, you in faith, you're embarking on a new time and a new step in your life and ministry. And just like Moses anointed the ear, the hand, and the foot of Aaron as the high priest with the blood to set them apart, God is anointing your ear again to be sensitive more than ever to hear the voice of God. He's anointing your hand again that there will be a stronger anointing in ministry, and your feet so that there will be a path of righteousness that he's leading you on. And so it's a new day and a new chapter, but it's a new beginning. Amen. Be encouraged in God. Be encouraged in God. Be encouraged. Jim, when God appointed Aaron, all of his brothers said, "What in the world are you doing? Aaron can't be the one." And there went up a murmur. They said, "Oh, all of these people, they're better. They're more highly esteemed and everything." And God says, "We're going to do a test then." And he said, "You take a rod from every one of the 12 tribes." You know the story. And they took Aaron's rod and they put it in before the Lord. And the next day when they came out, Aaron's rod had received life. It had sprung forth leaves and fruit. And God says, just like it seemed that your rod was barren and dry, God is going to anoint it. It's going to put forth leaves, and fruit is going to come forth. And all those that said, "Who is this man? Who is this person to be called and anointed by God?" God says, "I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Jamie, it seemed like in your life, God called you and you have a hunger and a desire for God. And you took off and you were like a rocket shooting up. But you fell back to earth at times. Because it seemed like every time you were about to make progress, the enemy would rise up. He would rise up to hit you and buffet you and buffet you and buffet you. And Paul run into something similar. He said, "I beseech the Lord three times." Because what? Satan has sent someone to buffet me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he has sent a messenger to buffet you. But God, as he told Paul, he's telling you that my grace is sufficient, son. That you keep persevering. You keep your eyes on me. Because I'm telling you, God's got his hand on you. And no matter that you may have been buffeted and knocked back at times by God by the enemy, God says, "I have a plan and a purpose for you. And don't you give up on it. Don't you give up on it." Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Mickey, you know, if you ever seen a chess match with the grandmasters? Used to years ago. I don't know if they still have them on TV, but they used to. Back in my day, it was Bobby Fischer was the grandmaster, and that means he's the best in the world. But you know, a grandmaster at chess, he sees many moves ahead. He doesn't just see where the chessboard is right now. He sees many, many moves, 10, 20 moves. That's what makes him a master. And God says that he is the grandmaster of your life. And you look at the board right now and it looks one way to you. But God says, "I've seen every move for your life, son. I've seen it right down to the end." And he says, "I'm in control. I'm in control, and you're right where I want you to be. And don't you be discouraged about looking at where the chessboard is right now, because I see it all the way to the end." Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, you found Exodus 4 yet? Found it by now, ain't you? Hallelujah. Well, we just want to be obedient to God. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand?" As I said, God had called Moses. God had spoke to Moses. And Moses saw the enormity. And here's the thing. When God calls us and wants to use us, many times when we first see what God is calling us to do, we see that it's bigger than we are. It's beyond our ability. Isn't it? I said, isn't it? Because, you know, if you could do it, why would you need God? Isn't that true? We need the hand of God. And so here is God. He's calling Moses. He's calling him into ministry to set the people free. And Moses, just like you and I, he says, God, I mean, not me. I mean, you know, call Joe. Joe could do it. I know Joe could do it. You know, call somebody else. But don't call me. And God said to Moses, and he said, Moses, what do you got in your hand? You ever noticed that many times in our human frame, that we say this, you probably said this at some time in your walk with God, especially probably when you were younger in the Lord. God, if you would just anoint me this way, or if you just give me this resource, or if you just do this, then I'd do something for you. You ever been there, made that statement? I have before. But you know, what did God say to Moses? He didn't say, Moses, he said, now, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to move supernaturally and save all of Pharaoh's army, and they're going to come over to your side. He said, you know what I'm going to do, Moses? He said, I'm going to send a whole regiment of angels with you. No, you know what he said? He said, Moses, what have you got in your hand? Moses said, a stick. Good Lord of mercy. Is there anything more mundane than a stick, a walking stick? A stick in his hand. That's all that he had. God says, that'll work. That'll do. Because here's the thing. It's not what we have to bring to God that counts. It's that we will bring what we have to God that counts. And so the question that I would ask you, and God would ask you this morning is, what do you have already in your hand? What gift, what ability, what can you bring to God? You say, yeah, but Pastor, I can't preach and I can't teach and I can't pray like others and I can't sing and I can't play an instrument. You know what? You still have something. Something that God has deposited on the inside of you. We have talents. You have abilities. It may be just to be an encourager. It may be an intercessor that you pray and nobody knows about it, but God knows, and the fruit that is brought forth knows. It may be that you can just pick up the phone and call people from time to time and say, you know what? God just put you on my heart. Can I pray with you about something? Whatever it is, listen, there is something that you already have that when the anointing and the power of God comes upon it, it makes all the difference. All of a sudden, like Aaron's rod that God spoke to Brother Jim about, Aaron's rod will bud and bring forth fruit, and it will bring blessing and help and strength to others. You have more than you know. I said, you have more than you know. The enemy wants to lie to you and tell you, well, what can you do? Look how weak you are. Every time, look how you keep getting up and falling down. You keep falling on your face. I want to tell you something. Listen, just like God's word to Jamie, that's a word to you and I. Listen, God's grace is sufficient for you. He is able to make his servant stand. And so if we will just ask the question of yourself this morning. What could you do? What could God do with what you now have? Man, every one of us could pray. Isn't that right? You say, but Pastor, I don't know if I'm the greatest prayer. Listen, it's not whether or not your prayers are so great. It's the fact that the God you're praying to is so great. Amen. It's not what you got in your hand. It's what he has in his hand. But here's the thing. We're co-laborers together with God. And when I take what I have in my hand and I take what God's got in his hand and they come together, I'm telling you what, it releases a power to bless and to lift and to set free. And listen, you have that ability. You know why? Because you have God. You have God. Say, I have God. Oh, yes, you do. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you've got God on the inside of me. Look down in chapter 4. Look down in verse 9 and 10 there. Notice what, as he's talking to God, Because Moses kept saying, Lord, what if they don't believe? What if they don't believe? What if they don't believe? You know, and he begins to talk to him there in Exodus 4. Let's begin in verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, Oh, Lord, I have never been eloquent. Well, neither have I. Neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. You ever feel that way? And the Lord said to him, Now listen. Who gave man his mouth? These are all rhetorical questions. Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Who are we to say that what we have to offer is too small? Isn't that what God said to Moses? He said, who are we to say that it is of no value? Didn't God give you that talent? Didn't God give you that ability? Didn't God give you what you possess? Listen, if God gave it to you, don't you allow the enemy to let you belittle what you have to give back to God. Because I want to tell you something. When you give it to God, there is an amplification that takes place. You know, I don't know about the new cars, if they still got them in, but in the old cars, they used to have something called a coil in the ignition. And something that was amazing about this coil, the way it was a simple device, but it had the power when a little bit of voltage, 12 volts went through it, it amplified it so much that it would kick over that engine, that big engine. And you know, that's the way it is. The Holy Ghost is like that coil on the inside of us. And when we give God that gift that we have, it may be 6 volts, it may be just 12 volts, but I'm telling you, when it hits that coil of the Holy Ghost, there is a supernatural amplification that goes through it. I'm telling you what, and it is manifold and many times more powerful and stronger and effective than when we just look at it. Oh, if you could only see what God is wanting to do through the gift you now possess. Oh, we all talk about it. You remember the woman with the 2 mites in the offering? Remember that? Jesus was standing there. He was standing at the offering. They all came and gave their big offerings and sounded their trumpets. And everybody was oohing and aahing over all that the rich folks brought. But here's this little woman. She didn't have a trumpeter. She didn't have anybody to say anything. She just kind of eased up there, you know, and probably kind of felt a little embarrassed about what she had to give. After all, it was just 2 little mites. It wasn't much. It wasn't anything. But notice when she gave that through a heart of giving to God, a heart that was fully devoted to God, Jesus standing there looking at the offering said, I want you to know this woman has given more than all of them put together. What have you have? What do you have that you could give God in service? What could you give God? It may look like 2 mites to you, but to Jesus, He's standing there saying, oh, I'm telling you, do you see what my servant is bringing? Do you see the heart of devotion that they're bringing in this gift? Do you see how faithful they are in using their gift for me? He said, we're going to amplify that. I'm going to touch it. I'm going to amplify it. I'm going to manifold, bring forth great blessing upon it. I'm going to see to it that what they give, oh God, it becomes great. It becomes big. Amen? Amen? Remember, it's not what we have to bring to God, but that we bring what we have to God. Turn over to Judges chapter 6. Judges 6. That I'm asking you, and God's asking you, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? If you're like most of us, you know, and I've told you this before, I'm telling you what, I'm the last person in the world. If I was God, I wouldn't have called me. I can think of at least 50 people in this room alone that could do a better job than me, smarter than me, more eloquent than me, could do a lot of things better than me. I don't know why God, I wish, you know, I'd have been happy if God called you to do it. You know, we all, you ever feel that way? Whatever it is that God calls you to do. You know, and here Gideon was very similar to that. And I think we learned something here in Judges. Did I say Judges? Okay, let me get over there. Judges 6, God is calling someone here, by a man by the name of Gideon. And he's speaking to him. And of course, at this time, Israel is being run over by their enemies, the Midianites.
And there is no one to sound the trumpet. There is no one to rise up as a leader in Israel. And here we look and see Gideon. Let's look at about verse 14. Notice what it says. You know, because Gideon is making all these excuses, you know. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand." Notice what he said. Go in the strength what? You have. In the strength you have. He didn't say, go in the strength when this super duper duper super duper 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 super duper anointing comes on you. No, he said, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have. Listen, Grace, that's a word to us this morning. Go in the strength that you now have. Behold, I am sending you. Oh, glory to God. Remember the 10 lepers? Remember the 10 lepers? They entreated Jesus to heal them. Remember the story? And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And notice it says, as they went, what happened? As they went, listen, as they went in the strength they had. They went in the debilitating strength that they still had. They still had the leprosy on them. As they took that step toward the priest, as they made that move toward the temple, they still had the weakness of that sickness and that disease upon them. But as they went in the strength they had, something came upon them and they were made whole. What strength do you have? What gift do you have? What can you, that you have now? Not what maybe you'll have one day. Not what you hope that God will supply in the future. But what do you have right now? What gift do you have? What ability do you have? What strength do you have that you can give to God? Just like Gideon. He said, you go in the strength you got. Glory be to God. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. He said, 15, but Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? Now notice, here he is. My clan, my family, is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. In other words, what was he saying? I'm the least among the least. Oh, Lordy, how many times have I felt that way? Lord, if you only knew. How many times? You ever feel that way? That I'm the least of the least? Oh, God. God, surely you can use one of these other people. Oh, God, I know they could do a better job. I know they're smarter than I am. I know they have more gifts than I have. I know they have more education than I have. I know whatever it is. But God says, you go. He told Gideon, you go. I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Amen. I'm sending you. Say, God's sending me. Woo. So here's the thing. We have to focus on God. Okay, and our obedience, not on what we have. It's not about what we have. God, if I get to thinking about what I have, I'm telling you what, man, I'm telling you, you would never hear from me again. Boy, I tell you what, you'd come to church on Sunday and say, what in the world happened, Pastor Norris? Oh, we got, you just have a note and saying, I got to thinking about what I am, and what I have, and what I can do. And I got thinking about that, and I'll see you later. It's not about what we have. And I want to tell you, it's the trick of the enemy to get you to look on yourself. Amen. To look on what you have to give, what you have to offer. You remember the story, one of the incidents in the life of Jesus where he's going to feed the multitudes. He told his disciples, he said, feed these people. I mean, here's 20,000 people out in the middle of nowhere. And this was a long time before they had any KFCs or Taco Bells. There wasn't any around. Nowhere in sight. There, I mean, any of you know what we mean by the boonies? The boondocks? Way out in the wilderness? The sticks? Any of those? If not, somebody that said they did, ask them. They'll interpret for you. I mean, they were out in the middle of nowhere. 20,000 people gone without eating for several days. How many know they could do some damage at a buffet line? Jesus turns to his disciples. He says, you feed them. Aye. Jesus. I mean, you know, not meaning to be disrespectful, but you almost think, are you crazy? How are 12 people going to feed 20,000 people in the middle of nowhere? Somebody spoke up about what they had. Because all they could think about was the enormity of the task and what they didn't have and how we couldn't do it and what in the world's going on and how in the world could God ask us to do something like this? It's impossible. Finally, somebody said, oh, by the way, we've got a few fishes and some loaves. Wonder what would have happened if nobody would have said, hey, we got, you know, sometimes we think, oh, it's so insignificant. But, I mean, that's what they said. They said, but Lord, what's a few fish and a few loaves among so many people? It's impossible. It's impossible. But what did they do? Jesus, it says he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he distributed it. Listen. Boy, there's a lesson there, isn't there? If we will take who we are and what we have, maybe it's just a couple of fish. Maybe it's just a loaf or two in our eyes. But when we give it to Jesus, he will bless it. He will put his hand upon it. We will be broken and distributed to the multitudes. Listen, Grace, we can do it. Oh, yes, we can look at some of the big churches in our area and we can say, oh, of course they will reach. They will surely be the ones that will reach. South Florida, surely they will be the ones. They've got to be the ones. I mean, look how many people they got. Look at all the resources they got. Look at all that. And I rejoice in it too, all those that are preaching Jesus. But we can look at that. Just like when God sent the prophet to anoint the next king, what did he do? The prophet went. He said, okay, God's going to anoint one of your boys. Bring all your boys up here. And he got all the boys lined up. And man, here goes the prophet, and he sees the oldest, and I mean, here's this big, broad shoulder, strapping young man. Man, I mean, he is something. And the prophet thinks, surely he's the one. Come on. Surely it's going to be him. God says, nope. And they kept bringing them, and kept bringing them, from the oldest right on down. And they got to the last one, and they said, it's not him either. And he says, have you got any more sons? And he kind of scratched his head for a minute. Oh, yeah. We forgot about him. Boy, he was really popular in his family, wasn't it? They forgot about David. Well, he's a nobody. I mean, he's so insignificant, so low on the pecking order, we got him out there in the backside keeping the sheep. You're going to have to sit, he said, you're going to have to sit down because it's going to take a while for us to go get him. And the prophet said, nobody's going to sit till he gets here. And here they brought David in. It says he was young. He was ruddy, a complexion. You know, he still had that youthful complexion about him. He looked young. He looked like, who in the world, this little old thing? I mean, man. And God said, he's the one. Come on. Come on. Listen, don't look around and say, oh, God surely is going to use this one or use that one. Listen, he's waiting. He's waiting for somebody to say, God, here we are. Here we are. We're ready to be used. You take what we have. We'll give you what we have. We'll give you all that we have. And Jesus, you take it and you break it and you distribute it and you reach the multitudes. Are you out there, church? Are you with me? Oh, when God moves upon what we give him, listen, it can feed the multitudes. It can change a family. It can change a community. It can change a nation. Turn to Matthew 25 real quickly. What do you have in your hand? What is in your hand? We know the story here, the parable of the talents. And I'll give you a brief synopsis for time's sake. You know this. Jesus, given the story here about the kingdom, he said there was a ruler. He left for a time and he gave charge to three individuals. 1-5, 1-2, 1-1. You know the story. He gave charge to them. And immediately, the one with five and the one with two, what did they do? They began to use what they had. They had an attitude, okay, I'm going to use what I got. What the Master's given me, I'm going to use. And let me just say this, remember this, church.
the gift God gives you doesn't really belong to you. You are a steward. You are a steward. You know what a steward is? Somebody who manages the property belonging to someone else. And an owner is not accountable, but a steward is. Did you know the Bible says we're going to appear before the Lord? We're going to give an account. Well, why would we have to give an account if we owned it? We only give an account. Why? Because it's on loan. And so the gifts you have, no matter how small in your eyes they may seem, you will give an account for them. Are you listening? You will give an account. That's one of the lessons we learn here. We're going to give an account. You say, but all I can do is pray and encourage. Well, bless God, use those two talents. Wear them out. I mean, excel in them. Be known as an encourager. I promise you, people will flock to you. People will want to be with you. People will want to be around you. Isn't that right? Man, I'm telling you what. Man, let's get over there. I'm telling you what. If I knew somebody like that was an encourager and I was feeling kind of down or blue, bless God, I can tell you who I'm going to get on the phone. It's not going to be Mr. Old Sour Grapes. Bless God, I know who I'm going to get. I'm going to get around somebody that's going to encourage me. Say, I'm going to pray for you, Pastor. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to get around somebody and say, I believe in you. You can do it. God's in you. So here we are. They used theirs. But here's what I want to do for the sake of time. Let's look at the one, you know, let me just, a couple things I wrote down here real quick. Recognize God gives something to everyone. You know, and we'll see this, the attitude had everything in the world to do with the use of the gift. It wasn't the gifting, it was the attitude. Because the individual that got the one talent, he didn't have a gift problem, he had an attitude problem. I said he had an attitude problem. The first two, they had a right heart and a right attitude. They took what they were given and they began immediately to use what they had been given. They put it to use. And you know what? When you use the gift God gives you, I promise you this, there is always increase. There is increase. There is increase. If you are an encourager, you know what? If you'll start using that gift, you'll get up to be a better encourager. You will be a super encourager. If you are somebody who can teach, if you get busy teaching, you'll become a better teacher. If you're somebody that can lay hands on the sick and get them well, you start laying hands on the sick and get them well. But there's something everybody can do. No gift is too small. That was the attitude of the individual who got the one. He felt like, my gift is, it's not important. It's so small. It's just one. After all, God, you gave them five. Why'd you give her five and me one? Oh, I could have done something if he'd have given me five. Or just two. If I had two, I know I could have done something. Well, what are you doing with the one you got? It says he took it and buried it. He buried it because what? He had a wrong attitude. He had a wrong approach and understanding to it. You know what? If he'd have had a right heart attitude and understanding about God, he would have used that one. And you know what? He would have got another one. Then he'd have had two. Then he could have continued to use those two faithfully. And then you know what? Maybe he'd have had three or four. But instead, he had to look around. He got an old attitude about him. Well, I knew you were hard and mean and tough. And you read it down there. He had all this kind of wrong idea about God. And the truth of the matter was, it had to do with his own heart. He buried his talent. Let me ask you, what do you got in your hand this morning? What have you got that you could be using for God? What have you got that you could be giving to God to see the kingdom expand, to see other people helped and encouraged and blessed and built up? What have you got? What's in your hand? Not what you don't have. I know we could all make a list, you know, from here to Miami about what we don't have. But what do you have? What do you have? And what's your attitude toward the gifting you do have? Oh, it ain't much. Well, excuse God for giving you something so cheap. How dare God? I mean, as wonderful as you are.
Yeah, see, we got to be careful that we don't get that attitude about us. Listen, there is no such thing as an insignificant gift from God. Amen. Only in your eyes. I mean, Moses had a stick. A stick. Lord of mercy. God can anoint a stick. There's hope for you and me. Isn't that right? He can anoint your gift. He can anoint your encouragement. He can anoint your faith. He can anoint your prayers. Oh, don't let the enemy tell you all what you've got. They won't ever miss that at Grace. You don't have to be faithful. They won't miss you. Oh, yes, we will. Yes, we will. I said, yes, we will. We'll miss your smiling, happy face, your prayers, your heart, your serving, your attitude that's infectious. I look at you and I say, bless God, yes, I can. Isn't that right? That's what I want. You get around me, I want you to leave that way feeling like, bless God, yes, I can. I can do what God says. I can do it. I can do it. You can do it, Mickey. Amen. Hallelujah. Faithfulness releases the gift in its anointing. What did the five and the two did? They went out and they put it to use. 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 Oh, but Pastor, I've been doing this for a year. Keep putting it to use. Keep putting it to use. Here's the thing. And keep a right heart attitude. Think about it. Look, esteem the gift you have. Glory to God. Look what God's given me. Man, I'm going to make God proud. I'm going to make God happy. I'm going to make God so glad that He's going to think about giving me something else. Come on. You say, oh, that's far. Read 25 there. The one that gave five and increased five more, didn't he? God said, take it from that old guy with the stinking attitude and give the one to this guy. I didn't say that's what God said. So here's the thing. First, check your attitude. What's your attitude? What's your attitude about the gift you have? You ought to rejoice in it. We ought to rejoice in one another. God didn't say try to duplicate the gift somebody else has got. No, rejoice in the gift you are. Rejoice in what God's given you. We don't need 10 ears. Are you listening? We need the toes and the joints and the elbows and the thumbs and everything else. We don't need 10 eyes. We don't need 7 heads. Last time I saw one of them was one of them old sci-fi movies. It was a strange looking thing too with a lot of heads, wasn't it? No, listen, we have a place and we should learn to recognize it, to esteem it and value it. And when you do that, you'll start using it. You'll start rejoicing in it. You start saying, man, isn't it great I could encourage people today? Isn't it great that I could pray for people today? Isn't it great that I could release my faith on behalf of somebody today? Isn't it great that I could share the gospel, the love of Jesus with somebody today? Oh, what do you have in your hand? Our attitude toward God and His gifts will determine our increase or our decrease. There are people that have gifts, and you've been a believer for years, but for whatever reason, either you haven't discovered what your gift is, or you didn't value it. And so it's just kind of set there dormant. You know, Paul wrote Timothy, he said, stir up the gift of God that is in you. What is the gift? You say, I'm not sure. Then you need to stir yourself. You need to seek God in prayer. You need to stir yourself up. You need to begin to worship God. You need to begin to get into the Word of God. You begin to need to wait on God. Say, God, what is it you've given me? What is it you've given me? I will value it. Help me to see it. Help me to discover it. I want to use the gift you've given me. Listen, God didn't call us to come and sit like a bump on a log. Listen, there's no joy in that. There's no life in that. God wants us to use the gift He's given us. And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to bless this body. Man, I'm telling you what, the Bible says y'all start using the gift, esteeming and valuing it and using it. He said the whole body's going to be built up and edified. He said the whole body's going to grow. Oh, but Pastor Ryan's not much. There you go again. Don't let that attitude get on you. Amen? Listen, how you see God determines how you relate to and use your gift. Are you wishing, are you telling God, you still wishing God, I wish He'd give me, I wish I could play like Brother Raul could play. I wish I could sing like one of those on the platform could sing. I wish I could preach, like this one could or that one could or this one could or the other one could. But what have you got? That's what it is. Fear will cause us to hide our gift. You look at the man with the one, he said, I was afraid. I was afraid to risk anything. I was afraid to get out and use what you gave me, Lord. I was afraid I was going to blow it. I was afraid I was going to miss it. I was afraid I was going to mess up. Listen, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Whatever your gift is, launch out there with it. Listen, we'll help you. We'll encourage you. If you fall down, we're not going to kick you. We're not a kicking church. Amen. We're going to lift you up. We're going to pour in the oil and the wine. Amen. And if you need more, bless God, we're going to give you more. We're not going to be down on you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to say, you can do it. And you know what? We're going to rejoice in the gift that starts flowing out of you. Oh, man, this church is going to start receiving benefit from the gift that's in you, from the prayers, from the faith, from the grace of God's put in you. Amen. Don't let fear. Remember Paul, he wrote Timothy, he said, stir up. He said, God's not given us spirit of what? Of fear. Of fear. Fear will cause you to draw back. Fear will cause you to hide your talent, just like this man did. But boy, if you'll say, hey, God's not given me a spirit of fear. Bless God, He's given me power. Power to do what? To act. Power to act. Power to use what I've been given. And it doesn't matter how feeble you start out. You know, I grew up out on the farm. And it's amazing. If you ever seen a brand new colt or a calf when it's been foaled, you know, it's just been born. I mean, that is an awesome thing to see. But you know what? It's not more than a matter of a few minutes after that calf or colt's born that it tries to get up on its feet. And man, you ever see one? That's the funniest thing in the world. Man, their little spindly legs are, you know, they're wobbling around and, you know, falling over. And I mean, you think, what in the world's going on? But you know, in just a few more minutes, you keep watching them. You know what? Their legs, all of a sudden, their strength starts coming in them. And I'm telling you, in just a few more minutes, they're standing pretty still. And just a few more minutes, it ain't a lot, about an hour later, man, they're galloping around. You know what? That's the way it is when you will just use the strength, the gift you have. God's power will come on you. First, you may feel like, you know, that's all right. We'll get one on either side. We'll just come right by you. Hey, you're doing good. You're doing good. You're looking good. Come on, man. And you're going to get stronger and you're going to get stronger. And pretty soon, man, you're going to be galloping with that gift. Oh, hallelujah. That's the way it works. That's the way God intended it. What do you have in your hand? Moses had a rod. The widow had a flour barrel. God anointed a flour barrel. It didn't run out of flour for a year. Gideon, with his big, giant inferiority complex, God used him. The widow's two mites. The boy with the loaves and the few fishes. What have you got? I promise you this, you've got something. You have something God has given you, and you can give it back. And when you do, God's hand, God's anointing will come upon it. And like Aaron's rod that budded, when it looked like it was impossible, God is using you. You'll join the rest of us who just stand amazed that God could use us. But then you know what? The Bible says, when God uses ordinary people like you and I, He gets all the glory, doesn't it? Because no use you and I bragging. We ain't going to sell that, are we? Like we're something special. But here's the thing. What God's put in you is special. Special before God. Special for His kingdom. And it's meant to bring a blessing to people. So I want to ask you again this morning.
What do you have in your hand? What do you have? I would encourage you to think on that. Meditate on that. Say, God, show me what I have. What do I have? Maybe just make you a little list. And it may look, some of those things God brings to mind, you say, God, that's so mundane and ordinary. Well, so is a stick. He'd been out there, I don't know how many years he'd used that stick. He'd been in the desert 40 years. I don't know if he'd had the same stick for 40 years or not, but man, he'd got up every day. I mean, he went to bed at night, he just threw that old stick over in the corner. It's just an old stick. Just an old stick. That's all it was. You know, it probably had a few nicks on it, you know, hitting those rocks out there. Just an old stick. And you make your list, and it may look like it's just the most ordinary. Just remember the stick. And you write that down. Say, God, now how can I use this, God? How can I begin to put action to this? How can I do this? How can I do this? Listen, let God show you. And begin to use what you have. Use what God has given you. And I'm going to tell you what. You're going to be amazed at what God does through it. You're going to be absolutely amazed. And you know what? People are going to be blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, would you bow your heads just for a minute? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for asking us the question, what do we have in our hand? God, where we need to have just an attitude. Maybe, Lord, I know, Father, I know because I'm human too. Lord, we can get an attitude. We can feel like maybe we were left out and we didn't get as much as others, or we don't have as much to give, or whatever it may be. We may feel so weak, and like Gideon, we're feeling so inferior. God, help us. Help us as the people of God to recognize that it's not us, but it's you. And Lord, we're going to discover, and we're going to activate, and we're going to give back through using it. We're going to give back to you the gifts that is within us, even if it's just one. And we're going to believe your power to make the difference, to anoint it, oh God. And we're going to see increase. Lord, all of a sudden we're going to discover, hey, there's a second gift I didn't realize I had. There's a third gift I didn't realize I had. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you said, he who is faithful in little, I will make ruler over much. Help us to begin where we are. Not where we'd like to be, but where we are. And use the gift that is within us. While your heads are still bowed, anyone here this morning, if you say, Pastor Norris, I'm not sure that my heart's right before God. I'm not sure if I were to die today that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure that everything's right between me and God. But before I leave here, I want to know that everything's right. The Bible says that whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says to come to God, we must do something called repent. What does repent mean? It means turn from our own way and turn to God in His way. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Norris, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that heaven is my home. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you just put your hand up and put it back down? Anybody in the room? Anybody at all? Just going to give you a moment. Hallelujah. I don't see anyone. I don't see any hands. Now, if you're here this morning, you need to say, Pastor Norris, I'm going to use what's in my hand. Before God, I make a recommitment that I'm going to use the gift in my hand. I'm going to use it for God's glory. I'm going to use it with God's help. I'm going to use it. If that's you, would you stand to your feet? If you're making that commitment, you say, whatever it is, God, whatever gift you give me, I commit to you afresh and anew. Or maybe it's the first time you're saying, I'm going to use my gift for you. Whatever it is. However small, however mundane it may seem, however great it is, however grand, I'm going to use it for you, God. I'm going to use it for you. God, you see these people. And Lord, they're not doing this for the pastor. They're doing it for you. They're making this commitment to you, not the pastor.
not to each other. They're making this commitment to you. You're making it to God now, church. You're making it to God. Father, I pray over everyone that's standing, myself included, oh God, where we need to adjust an attitude, I thank you that you're going to help us. We're going to adjust it. Father, we're going to get our eyes on you and not ourselves. We're going to begin to use our gifting. We're going to begin to activate it. We're going to begin to believe that our ability, with your supernatural ability, will release a great power for the kingdom of God to bring blessing and hope and encouragement wherever we go. God, thank you. Thank you. It's a new day. It's a fresh anointing. It's a fresh beginning for us here at Grace. We're going to use and glorify God through the gifts you've given us. No unused gift. No unused gift. No gift too small. No gift too insignificant. No gift too great. We give them all to you, oh God. Help us, Lord. Help us. I pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said.